In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. So there are two events that we mark today. One is on our church calendar, and one is on our secular calendar. One was handed down to us by our ancestors in the faith. The other is dictated by the local Board of Education. Today we recognize the ascension of Jesus, bodily taken up into heaven right before the disciples' eyes. Today we also anticipate the looming prospect of the high school graduation of three of the young people in our midst: Ethan Ramos, Ian DeMattis, and Aviva Foster. And so as I considered the conjunction of these two occurrences, I was struck by the parallels. Jesus' words of prayer over his disciples in John's gospel were meant to prepare them not only for his death, which would be undone by the resurrection just a few days later, but also for his ascension, which would represent a deep change in how those disciples related to Jesus. Similarly, high school graduation is a milestone in many young lives that reflects a time of profound change in relationships and responsibilities. So I would like to consider for a few moments how the ascension informs graduation, and maybe how graduation also informs our understanding of the ascension. Let's start with this. Ever since the ascension, the gathered church is where we encounter the presence of Christ. Indeed, St. Paul tells us, "Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it." From the beginning of his public ministry, Jesus invited various disciples to follow him, to be with him, to learn from him, and to witness his power at work in the world. Likewise, our children who were raised in church are being formed by the body of Christ, so that they might be in Christ's presence to learn from him and to witness his power at work in the world. Even when they were infants, the rhythms of the liturgy seeped into our children's bones right as they fussed in the pews. From readings and sermons to children's chapel and Sunday school and VBS, our children were nurtured with the stories of the Bible. And perhaps even more important than the stories of the Bible, we, the church, also taught our children how to love. We have taught them how to love in the way that God loves. Acts of care and concern and cherishing communicated to our children that they are loved, that there is a whole community here of adults who see them as important, as worthy of ample investments of time and energy and attention. We have given our children a vision of that which is good and excellent and lovely. We have taught our children that the universe is a safe place. And despite occasional bouts of pain and doubt, that love is the theme, the overarching narrative of reality. We have taught our children that God is love. And they have experienced that love. They have witnessed it. They have lived in it. They have learned about it by being here, present, a part of the life of St. Thomas. Jesus said, "I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world." Jesus did this for his disciples, making God's name known to them. And Jesus does this even today for those who gather as his body. This has been Jesus' ministry to Ethan, to Ian, and to Aviva through us, the church community that we call St. Thomas. But something's changing, isn't it? Just as from the day of ascension onward, the apostles never again encountered Jesus in quite the same way as they had in the earlier days, so our children are no longer children. They are young adults preparing to go out into the world. They are quite possibly preparing to find themselves apart from us, St. Thomas. But this day has been prepared for. Indeed, it was to prepare for this day that we have spent the last 18 years or so surrounding our children with loving care and instruction and a growing breadth of experiences and responsibilities. That work of preparation was for many of our children begun and most clearly symbolized in their baptism. Tomorrow I'll say these words directly to Ian and Aviva. Ethan's not able to be with us tonight. But no matter what your age or your experience of life, this is the church's message for you. Your baptism is something that can never be taken away from you. It's also something you can never quite escape. You are at liberty to ignore it. God is neither controlling nor manipulative. But your baptism is something that you will never lose, that will never be without effect. It will always be there waiting, something that you can come back to and rely upon when every other resource fails. Your baptism ultimately represents God's love for you, God's acceptance of you, and God's readiness, determination to fight on your behalf. Your church families at St. Thomas and wherever else life has taken you have striven to give you just a little glimpse of that love for you. And that glimpse is a promise. It's a foretaste of God's more perfect, more powerful love. And that glimpse is also a testament to your value, your worth, your beauty that is so much more than skin deep. Some of our graduating seniors might go off on their own and get involved in another church right away. And that can be a tremendous resource to them as they build a life of their own. More important even than having a bank account or a car or even a job. They will be received by a new parish not as their parents' child, but as their own adult self with adult privileges and adult responsibilities. And that can be an exciting experience. Some of our graduating seniors might choose to remain close by to Glassboro and may even choose to navigate this transition into adulthood in the company of St. Thomas. And so we will be here for them to support them in their efforts. And it will be up to us to make that transition with them and to learn to see them not as children, but as adults, as sisters and brothers. Some of our graduating seniors might need a little time, a little space away from church in order to gain the perspective to see the purpose or the value of having God in their life and having the church as a presence for them. And that's okay. That's fair enough. That's a part of the process of growing up for very many of us. What's important is that they have been baptized. Right, they have been marked as Christ's own forever. And so whenever they are ready, they are going to find that the body of Christ is there, waiting to embrace them as one of their own. There might be squirrels involved. Our graduates are moving on to the next things in their lives. Possibly more education. Probably more responsibility. And certainly more discovery of whom God has created them to be. It is in many cases only by leaving the orbits of their families and their families perish that our graduates will discover the freedom to imagine the new thing that God is doing in them. And so it is up to us to free them with encouragement and well wishes and continued support so that they can break free of our orbit and into the larger universe of God's gravitational pull. And that is the thing that our graduates teach us in this moment. It takes tremendous faith, just a staggering amount of faith, to step out into the mysterious unknown all alone. Faith that God will be there, that God is there already, waiting to meet them and to lead them into bigger and better things than they have ever imagined before. God has taught our children that faith that enables them to step out by passing it through us, Christ's body. And so we who remain behind have that same invitation of faith before us. Always we begin again. Always we stand before the doorway into the bigger world that God has created. But if we, the body of Christ, remain a family supporting our graduates, even as they move off into their new journeys, then we can know that that same body supports each of us in our journeys as well. As a parish, as families, and as individuals, God is calling us always to what's next, onward and upward, into the great adventure of life with God. Amen.